Well, I want to thank the young folks for that song. It's a wonderful testimony to have. I remember years ago when I was younger than most of those young folks that was up here, I heard a quartet of young men sing that one time, and it's still been ringing in my heart. I like that very much, to be able to tell the world around us that I'm free from this world of sin. I would like to ask you for your prayers tonight. Ask the Lord that He would bless His Word. Also, I'm going to tell you it's real good to be here with the saints, and I count it a privilege to worship the Lord with you tonight. We've been a blessing, or you've been a blessing to my life, is what I really meant to say. You've been a blessing to my life, and the support and love that I've felt from the saints here in this area has always warmed me and encouraged me, and I would like to return that to you and tell you that I love you all very much too. And I'm glad we can walk this way together. We need to be encouraged not only in each other and our faithfulness, but we need to focus ourselves more today than ever on the Lord and walk with Him and allow Him to encourage and inspire us. I don't know. I suppose most of you know me, but I guess it's proper to let you know that my name is Ivan, and I hail from Guthrie, Oklahoma now. And again, I ask for your prayers tonight. I'd like to for you to turn in your Bible over to Matthew, the 24th chapter. And I'm going to try to write something on the board. I suppose this is a subject that we have. What I've written on the board, if you can't see it, is that Y is awfully light. Be ye also ready. We're going to find that in some of our reading here tonight in Matthew, the 24th chapter. And this is a subject that I suppose we've all heard many times. So many times that perhaps we've gotten used to it. It's words of Jesus. And words of Jesus, I believe, hold an especially important impact for us. It should be held pretty highly, very highly. And I believe that Jesus said these words not just to frivolously say something, but I think there's a reason why He wants us to think about this subject more than just tonight. But I think it's appropriate at the beginning of a camp meeting like this that the Lord would have us to honestly assess ourselves before the Lord Himself. Where He has allowed humans like me to come and perhaps bring some of His Word, and we trust that the Lord anoints His Word. He allows us to be part of that. But God wants His Word Himself to be inspired to our hearts, to be moved and encouraged and brought to a place where we look in a mirror of His Word and it might stir us in our hearts. Because I believe we do live in a world where it's easy to get very distracted by the things of this world, or very caught up in patterns of life. Just, we get used to going to work, we get used to raising our children, we get used to the patterns of life. And we get into those norms, routines, and after a while we can almost just be on autopilot, and at some point then the Lord comes by and He tries to awaken us and revive us. and inspire us and get us back to an urgency in our soul. I don't mean to try to say something that goes beyond the norm of sincerity. Not the devil would like to push us over into a place where we feel oppressed, and that's not what the Lord wants. But He's interested in us giving with all of our heart, our hunger and desire for the Lord to give ourselves to Him. So we want to read over here in Matthew the 24th chapter, starting with the 42nd verse. If you'll allow me, I can read a little better off my phone, which I have it over here. Matthew 24 and 42 says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready." And that's where I've taken these words from, this verse. "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." I notice in this reading, perhaps we'll focus for a little bit here on the 44th verse. "Therefore, be ye also ready." I noticed that Jesus focused not on the generality of people out there as much as what I believe. When He said, "Be ye," I believe that He could have well put my name beside that. In place of ye, He could have said, He could have looked at me. And likely tonight, He well could have put your name there too. And it's not because He's to shock or to cause us to feel a certain sense of being oppressed by this knowledge. But He did it out of love. He does it because He cares. I don't remember a time that I sent my children when they got ready to go out and do something, and I had as a parent a little bit of a concern about how they would handle themselves, and as they walk out the door, I might say, "Now I want you to be careful." I didn't say that out of oppression. I said that out of care and love. So tonight, when Jesus, and these are the words of Jesus, says, "Therefore be ye." Personally, I believe every one of us, he loves it. I don't believe He loves me any more than what He loves you. So He put my name there, and I believe He puts your name there because He looks at us in loving kindness and He says, personally, be ye also ready. Be ye also ready. Also, as part of this, there is a connection here that be ye also. There, maybe we look at our brother and sister and feel pretty good about them, or maybe we don't feel. Maybe we might feel some apprehensions about our brother and think, perhaps I'm concerned and I'm praying for him because I see a little lackness coming in his life. And about this time, when I'm praying for him, the Lord looks at me and says, "Be ye also ready." It's my job. It's my responsibility. Be ye also ready. Ready for what? Well, this is a very careful thought. I think it carries weight what Jesus is saying. It's not a frivolous invitation that He's giving out here. He's not saying, "Be ye careful, be ye also ready." I don't think it's something that is a frivolous thought out there that be ready because somebody's going to come by and pick you up to go downtown and do some shopping. I don't think that's a kind of be ye ready. I don't think that's what He's talking about. I think He's talking a little bit deeper about that. We generally do pretty good about being ready for certain things. I don't know, sometimes Sunday mornings I wonder how well and how prepared and how to get there. Had a brother tell me one time, he said, I always build in enough time When I get ready to leave to go to church, I build in enough time that if I had a flat tire, I'd have enough time to change my tire. And I'm not going to tell you that's what you've got to do. But I took counsel by what he said, and I thought, that's a good thought. That's good advice. And I'll just tell you today, when traveling down here, my wife said quite a while back before we got down in this vicinity, she said, we need to get a car wash. And I said, you're right. I didn't argue. I knew she was correct. I knew that. And in my mind, I thought, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait until we're about there, because you know how road dust collects. And I think I'm just going to wait till I get just about there. And I came down here with some of my dress clothes on. And I thought, I'm going to find me a car wash that has this automatic thing that I can perhaps even put my credit card in and sit there in the confines of my vehicle and let it do its job and I can drive away. Well, that's not what I found. I waited too late. I got off down here and I finally found a place that I could put a few quarters in and do some washing. And I'll tell you what, the dirt that I was washing off was red. And it splattered back at me. And I got to thinking, Ivan, you're not ready. You're not prepared. And I thought of all this, and I thought, well, you know, the Lord's been kind of giving me, I've been thinking, I've been driving down here thinking, felt like the Lord's been dealing with me about this thought. And the more all this began to happen, you know how my spirit started being? A little agitated. That all this, I wasn't ready. You see, if I would have taken care of it earlier, if I'd have gotten that done, I wouldn't have had these little details that snowballed at the end and made me feel a little stressed. And so then in the back of my head, in the inner part of my heart and mind, I heard a little whisper saying, be ye also ready. And it got me to thinking about how important it was for us. That was just a car wash and things that didn't work too well. And I was disappointed. And that has very minimal impact. But there's one appointment that we're all going to have that has the greatest of impact. And I'm not here tonight to cause us to necessarily fear and tremble, except what the Lord may want to do, awaken our hearts and cause us to consider well the loving invitation of our Lord. It says, be ye also ready. Jesus said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Jesus said that. He said, we don't understand, we don't well recognize our time. I have noticed over the passage of time that there are people that used to be here younger than me, that they're not part of this congregation anymore. They're not part of my age group because they're not here. Because they've already heard that call. They've already, the appointment has been set, the appointment, and they were called to that appointment. And before recognizing it, before hardly knowing it, sometimes I know there's times we can almost see that day coming, but sometimes we can't. The Lord in His mercy sometimes allows us time to thoughtfully prepare. Sometimes He comes as a thief in the night. And so tonight, in the beginning of this meeting, as we allow the Lord to confront us, maybe I could say that differently, to lovingly set before us and commune with our souls and ask us about who I am and where I'm going and what I allow in my life and where I stand before Him. As we are before the Lord tonight, He lovingly says, be ye also ready. At the beginning of this meeting, as the meeting progresses, I hope that the Lord deals with every one of our souls. Because in His loving kindness, He wants us ready. He wants us ready. It's not that He wants to bring us to a place of dread and say, those Bible thumpers down there, they make me always feel anxious. I'm not here just to make us feel anxious tonight, but I would convey the love of our Lord when He says, be ready. Be ready. Be prepared. Watch ye therefore, because you don't know when the Lord will come. But know this, that if the good man of the house, the one who knew he had these goods, he knew where he was, this was his possessions of life. He had this soul. He had planted his life. The garden of it, of his life was growing in certain ways. And perhaps the garden can grow wild and ill-tilled and not well taken care of. You understand what I'm saying? All these things can happen. But if the good man would have known, the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come. He would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Sounds like a bad description there. His house was broken up. Something came in and all that he had expected it to be, the house, it should have been like this, but now it's not. Something has entered in without me recognizing it, and my house is broken up now. What the pillars that used to hold me up, now they don't. Something's changed. If he'd have known, the thief comes along to kill, steal, and destroy. Wouldn't have suffered his house to be broken. And then Jesus says, therefore, because of this possibility, because we have an enemy that tries to bring us to a place of carelessly falling into a rut in our life, carelessly going on with a routine. And folks, I want to tell you tonight, it's not wrong to be for a young man to be dedicated to his job and be very studious. It's not wrong for those, but I wanted to tell you, amongst all you're getting, get the Lord Himself. Amongst all of that the Lord has blessed us with ideas, with thoughts, with wisdom, with intelligence, and I believe amongst the saints are some of the most intelligent young people of the world. I think that we have some of the most skilled, the most coveted after in the workplace out there. I want to tell you, take what you have and first give it to the Lord. First give it to the Lord. And the Lord then will guide your life. And another thing that I believe the Lord wants to build into your life, all of our lives, He wants there to be a home environment. God wants young people, young men and young women to build a home where the Lord is at the center of their life. The Lord, let me say it like this. I feel like it's a mistake for us to think that I'm just going to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, show me. It's good to say that. I'm not saying don't do that. But then after that prayer is over with, I sit back and say, okay, I'm going to sit here and wait on you for lightning to come down and the revelation to be there. I think it's a mistake. Because God wants us to engage our minds. God wants us through the process of engaging our thought and giving myself and learn through the process, learning to lean and seek and ask the Lord for His wisdom, His understanding. As I'm going through the process, we learn something about life. Learn something about ourselves and the other person that I'm interested. Folks, this is the way I believe the Lord would have us. So many times, it's a lazy thing to say, Lord, You just plop it down in front of me, and that's the way it's going to be. Forgive me if you see it differently than I do. I'm not saying don't ask the Lord, because I really want us to ask the Lord and seek His face and His ways. But the Lord gave you a mind. And God's interested in us seeking for His will. Searching it out. He invites us to come and reason together with the Lord. That is something I believe the Lord wants in our world as young men and as you young ladies. There is something that, as you're the process of life, if you don't have that foundation of knowing the Lord, if you don't have that foundation of having the Lord within your relationship, there's going to be some winds that's going to beat upon your house. There's going to be all kinds of things in this world that will come and confront you. That doesn't mean you can't get victory through it, because I think the Lord is able to bring you through. If you have your heart centered and settled on the Lord can bring you through. But I want to encourage us to seek the Lord all the way through and teach us how to walk day by day in understanding how the Lord would have us to live our life. Because I'm afraid if we don't learn young, we don't learn and have these things settled in our hearts, that there's going to be a time that I feel like, well, maybe I'm not ready. And we start backpedaling, the devil gets advantage of us, and we get confused. I don't want that to happen in any of our lives. I would like also now for us to look over into Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Again, carrying on with the thought of being ready, being prepared. Be ye also ready. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We'll start again here at the 24th verse here. Hebrews 10 and 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is. Now let's go back and consider a little bit where we started, and let us consider one another to provoke. Now, there's a lot of provocation that we can do. We can act in such a way that we pull out all the worst and pick at all the things that we can know how to pick at in each other, and we're not provoking to good works. The result of that's not going to be very good. And I believe that in the midst of that, If the good man of the house would have known, he wouldn't have allowed that to be in his garden. He wouldn't have allowed that to be part of his household. Cultivating an attitude of picking, trying to find fault, trying to find the little things. Folks, I want to tell you tonight that I have a big enough job being ready, because I believe He put my name there when He looked and said, be ye. He put my name there. Ivan, you be ready. And I've got a big enough job keeping Ivan ready. There have been many times the Lord in His mercy had to come by and confront me where I was right then, because He didn't want that hour that I knew not. He didn't want that to catch me unaware. The Lord in His love deals with us individually. And I believe tonight, throughout this meeting, I believe the Lord wants to deal with each one of us individually. Because He wants us to be ready. He's not doing this to try to cause us to feel confused or feel like I don't belong. No, you belong, and you belong to Him. And the Lord wants to draw us ever nearer and establish us in righteousness. When the Lord corrects, He's not correcting out of any desire to crush or to hurt, but that we might grow and be encouraged and inspired. In His loving direction, in His loving correction. And let us consider one another to provoke. Let us think about our brother. Perhaps before we say something, what is the poet? He said, if you can give, what was it? If you can give the unforgiving or something. But he talked about a space of time that you gave and you just waited and you thought about it. You gave it space and you thought, and then you turned your heart. Then instead of reacting with the first impulse that comes across, if we can control that, and the Lord would have us to do that, He calls us to consider. Let us consider one another. Don't allow our reaction. You see, I'm afraid if we enter into that type of a reaction, this has to do with the attitude of my heart. And I'm afraid if we allow that kind of reaction to become part of us, and the trump sounds, perhaps not for you, but for me, there's a time comes that I don't want my house to be broken up. Consider one another to provoke. The provocation here, a lot of times we think of provocation as something that is a negative thing. But folks, we can, let me term it a little differently. When it's applied in the positive way, I believe the Lord would have us encourage one another, provoke one another, inspire one another to good works, to love, and to good works. Inspire each other for that. Call the good out from each other. Lord, help us to do that. That's a challenge for me. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. I can tell you one of the things the devil will try to do the most, one of the things he'll aim at, when he can get in there and cause some little tensions and strifes to begin to grow, one of the things he'll take away from you as soon as he can, the desire to even get together. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever felt it yourself? I want to tell you, you can mark it down, it's a devil doing that. Mark it down, it's a devil's in the middle of it. Don't let that happen. Forsake not the assembling. You see, in the middle of those type of moments, the Lord whispers and says, be ye ready. Don't have time for it. Devil, I don't have the energy to give to that. I've got to turn away from all the devil is trying to do in my life, and I've got to keep my focus. And you do too. Got to keep our focus on the Lord. But exhorting one another, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What day is that? I suppose there's different ways of trying to put meaning to what the brother here in Hebrews was writing. When he said that, as you see that day approaching. Sometimes we think, well, maybe he was talking about the day we meet together here as a congregation. Well, that's part of it. But I'm seeing another day approaching for me. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. There's people that I love very deeply here. And they've already heard the call. They went on home. Faces that over the past number of years, not talking necessarily just recent, but those recent ones too. Faces that have meant much to me, and as we was coming down here today, we were going over some of the people that you younger ones, we're all, I guess we're all just kind of who we are, and you expect us to be here forever, but we're not going to. Won't happen. Time goes on. We'll be going to one of these days. But I want you young folks to get a hold of something. Glean from those who went beyond some inspiration. But you need more than just the older folks that's gone beyond. You need God. You need to learn to love the Lord with all of your heart. And as that day begins, well, I'm reminded as we see that day approaching, whether it's the camp meeting season, and we come out and we begin to enjoy each other's company and hearing the word and feeling the stir in our soul and being inspired to move up a little bit more, perhaps even come to an altar of prayer and say, Lord, you really talked with me tonight and I really want to do better. And I ask you, Lord, that you'll pour in the grace and the strength, that you'll help me not to forget what you showed me tonight. And I want to tell you, I know the devil well enough that the devil will do his best to steal what the Lord shows us. He'll start it right after service is over. He'll try to minimize it because it is of his best interest if he can make it seem not so important. But it's of our great interest if we recognize what the Lord begins to speak to us about and say, Lord, I want to be ready. Whatever it takes. We had a video of my mother in her house singing that song. She said it, she sang it in her kind of a crackly type voice. She'd gotten old. Like I'm getting. And her voice wasn't what it used to be. But she meant it. With all her heart. Her mind had faded. She couldn't do a lot of things that she used to do. But she could sing. Whether it was good or not, she still sang. And she sang it with intent. And that song, she started singing, whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord. That's what I'll be willing to do. Houses, lands, whatever. Take it all, Lord. If that's what it takes, take it all. Be willing to give it all for the Lord. Oh, most of the time, the Lord, he doesn't take everything like that, but he'll take what's necessary that we might not be attached to things that we shouldn't be attached to. The Lord in his love knows how to help us as his children. Oh, young folks, I want to ask you, as you go through life and today, you may think that you've got plenty of time and you might. And I can't tell you that, nor can you. But as you're young, learn to love the Lord and put Him first in all your attributes, all your areas of your life. Put Him first in those places before the evil day come. Before the difficulties, before the real pressures. And I know as a young person, I remember how I felt. I thought, surely as I get older, I'll be able to control my own life and make my own decisions and I'll be in control. And I can tell you, I don't think there's ever that day coming. Oh, I understand. There's a little bit more of those aspects to it. But there's also a lot of responsibility that goes with those decisions that you make. And you and I are going to carry who we are and what our decisions are. And we'll be responsible. And so Jesus looks at us, and when you're making those decisions, as you get older, like you, like some of us are getting older, and the Lord says, even at your age, be ready. Be ready. You don't know. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as a man or some is, but exhorting one another as such, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, for me, as I begin to see the day of life, and I don't see it as a morbid thing, winding down, I don't see that as a... There's a certain great joy that I have in my soul to know that one of these days I'm going home. But I also know that as one that has had to stay behind and wrestle with loss, I know how that feels. It hurts. But oh, how helpful it is to know they're ready. They were ready. Oh, what peace, what help that the Lord can bring to those that come behind us if we let them know, if they know, have a satisfaction of their soul that all is ready. Matthew, the 16th chapter now. 24th verse. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. This is Jesus' words again. Matthew 16 and 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That doesn't seem very appealing to the flesh. That doesn't seem to be the road that seems attractive. It would have been a whole lot easier, and I believe these disciples, they were walking with Jesus. I don't know how much closer you could get physically to Jesus than following him daily. That's the type of life they were in. They were hearing him. They were walking with him. They heard his instruction. I don't know if they understood always very well exactly what he is saying, but we're humans, and sometimes we don't always understand at that moment what Jesus is saying. But we follow on, and the Lord continues to reveal his truths, builds line upon line and precept upon precept. Our learning and our understanding begins to grow. And as we walk with the Lord, it enriches our lives. We sang the song a while ago about that precious fountain of blood whose virtue stands between. And all Brother Rod said, I've tasted, and I can tell you it tastes good. It's worth it. I know what it was like when I was over on the devil's territory. And I can tell you what I would still be like if it wasn't for the fountain of blood. I can tell you what it would be like. Whose virtue stands between a barren land of sin and shame. Or this is the dividing line. Where the blood touched, there's life. Where the blood of Jesus Christ is applied in our life, there's a change happens. Stands between. And on this side of this river of life, there's fields of living green. What a joy. What a pleasure. And life it is bringing. So when he says to me now, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. It's a lot easier now than what it was back then when I first heard it. Because I've walked with Him and I've had experience of times of stubbornness when I decided, no, I'm going to take my own way. And I learned by experience that it was not a good way to give over to my stubborn ways and allow that to build in me. I want to tell you, I want to encourage you, as soon as you recognize those places in your life, will you turn from it? Take up your cross. Get rid of that part, because that part feeds the anger, feeds the degradation, feeds the pain and sorrow and the shame. That's what that does. And that's the reason why God says, Jesus says to us, take up the cross. Be ready, in other words. Don't let that be the defining feature of your life. Jesus said to His disciples, if any man come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world? Sometimes the whole world seems awfully attractive. It did to me when I was a young man. And sometimes I felt a little sorry sometimes. When I was a young man, there was a brother among us, Brother Herschel Hargrave was his name. Many of you probably don't remember him. Some of you do. Brother Herschel Hargrave was a skilled man. He could have taken his skill set and went out and made money in the world. He just had that. He had that ability, but he chose to give that to the Lord. And I saw sometimes his things that he didn't have that perhaps others did, and I thought, Lord, I don't know if that's right. And it seemed like it would have been better if somehow in my youth and ignorance, it seemed to me that it might have been better to reserve a certain amount of himself for himself. But for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Not prepared, you see, not ready for that call, not ready for that time when the hour that he thought not, that moment when the call went out, go ye out to meet him. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited? Where's the profit in it now? At the end of our life, if we have given all of our effort and our time, and I've been, young men, I want you to be studious. I want you to be, honestly, I want you to, you give your time, be diligent is the word I'm trying. I want you to be diligent with these things in life. I don't want to tell you, when they sum it all up and come down to the end, if we haven't put God first, what's it going to profit us? For what is a man profited if he should gain, if he was, forgive me for throwing out a name, if he was Jeff Bezos? I'm using that just as an example. But if he had seemed to gain Elon Musk or whoever, if he had done so well that everybody knew your name. But when the call came, wasn't ready. What profit now? Zero. Zero. What a horrible place to find ourselves in. Now, tonight I'm asking you to allow this, allow the Lord just to awaken us to some of these. Because it seems like to me we have We have heard this message, this type of message, so many times and for so long. I've heard it before. But folks, sometime our name will be called. And sometimes there's going to be a day that all names will be called. I don't know when that's going to be. But so much more as we see our end, that day, when we see that approaching, there should be a certain seriousness that come over my soul. And I said, Lord, I really want to be ready. I don't have time for the frivolity of life. Oh, I'm not saying you can't go fishing or can't go have fun with your children. I think the Lord would have us to do that. But put God in all of it. Put God in it. What shall it profit? If you shall gain the whole world, lose your own soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Really nothing. What can you? Nothing. Except now. Except now we can give her all. My blessed Lord, I will be thine. I give my all to thee. Now is those times. Now's the dressing room. Now's the time given that we can look at the Lord and say, Lord, I give my all. I don't know how to give more. I may know tomorrow how to give more, but tonight I'm giving all I know how. And I give my all to thee. I'm reminded also, and I'll just refer to this one quickly. Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven. He said it's likened to 10 virgins. You know the story, and I won't go over it meticulously. But there's 5 that were wise and 5 that weren't. There were 5 that in the course of life somehow, a vessel that used to carry oil didn't have it anymore. I'm going to leave it between you and the Lord to answer the reasons why the oil leaked out or oil was used up and wasn't replenished. I let the Lord. But I would ask us to consider the fact that they all knew the bridegroom was coming. They had been told that. They knew that. Perhaps for many days, for I don't know how long, perhaps in our case many years, we've heard bridegroom's coming. We got accustomed, got very, we heard it so much that one more voice saying, be ready, gets lost in all the many voices. Except he did come. He did. He actually showed up. At a time when the example given in the scripture that there was 5 of the 10, they had let something slip. They should know. And at midnight, the cry went out, said, go ye out to meet him. And you know the story. The 5 that were ready went in. The 5 that weren't ready, they scurried around a bit and tried to get ready, but they came to the door too late and knocked and wasn't ready. So as we enter in to this camp meeting season, I think the Lord would like us to hear him saying, lovingly looking us in the eye tonight and saying, child, be ready. For in a time that you think not, don't know what's happening tomorrow. We don't know. But oh, it'll mean everything. Everything to be ready. So I know this is a weighty thing that I'm presenting tonight. I don't suppose I intend for it to be pressing. But I believe the Lord would intend for it to be confronting to us. That we might stop just long enough to say, Lord, I do want to be ready. Whatever it takes. Yes, Lord, there's some things perhaps in my life that I've made a league with and thought it wasn't that bad. But now, as I'm thinking about it, it'd be better if I just left that alone. See, what the Lord does in His love, He woos us away from things that's damaging to our soul. And again, He looks at us lovingly and kindly and says, child, be ready. I'm going to come for you one of these days. And I want you to hear me say, oh, child, well done. Well done. And we can hear that voice. We can know tonight. We can be ready. As I told you earlier, I believe that that scripture, when Jesus said, be ye also ready, I could hear Him put my name right there. He looks at me tonight lovingly and says, Ivan, be ready. Don't let the things of this world entangle your feet. Don't let the routine of life take away your zeal for righteous living. Don't let sometimes the confusing and conflicting things that go through our mind somehow get us distracted from our first love for the Lord. So I ask for your prayers for me tonight. And I'll tell you, I'll be praying for you too, because I want to go to heaven together. But I leave you now with these words of Jesus. Be ye also ready. Pray for me.